Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still, Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days when the pleasant. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Brother Green. And, you know, that's exactly when God wants to hear the most praise, the most worship, the most excitement, the most joy from our lives, is when times come in the dark times. You see, it's easy to live on the mountaintop and praise God when everything's going well. What are you going to do when you find yourself in the valley? Are you going to praise God then? Are you going to worship God then? Are you going to quit on God? May I say to you tonight, it's a choice, my dear friend. You choose whether or not you want to serve God. You choose whether you want to face up and be a man or a woman about the circumstances. Sometimes you're put in circumstances of life you didn't want to be put in. You put that, by the way, sometimes other people put you in those circumstances. But can I say to you tonight, you're still to praise God. You're still to thank God for His goodness and His grace. And thank God for songs that minister to the Spirit. And I enjoy that. And thank you, Brother Green, for ministering there to us. Take your Bible, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now, on Sunday evenings, we're going to be learning more and more about how to minister to the multitudes. And that is going to be our theme. It ought to be our theme for the rest of our life. It ought to be our theme as a church, regardless of what the new year brings. But ministering to the multitudes is not just a concept, folks. It's a way of life. It's the way that Christians are supposed to live. And last week we learned a little bit about ministering to the multitudes and how to go about doing that, and what ministering is. Ministering, a minister is just an agent of God. That's all we are. Just God's hands, God's feet, God's voice is what we are. And, you know, the main thing that we learned last week is that today in the New Testament, being ministers, this is not something new. This was something that has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Matter of fact, Joshua was called the minister of Moses and minister to Moses. And so we learned last week why we need to be ministering. Remember, Jesus said that when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them for three reasons. Number one, they fainted. Remember that he said, hey, they're losing spirit, they're losing heart, they're decaying, they're getting away from truth. He said they fainted. Then he said, on top of that, he said they're scattered. Man, they're just following every wind of doctrine. They've lost focus. They're losing heart in the fight. And then he said, because they have no shepherd. They need guidance. They need direction. And so we learned about these things last week. And what I'd like to do tonight, church, is lay a little bit of a foundation about ministry. And I want to find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, if you would please. And would you stand with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'll join you there in just a moment, but I want to go back and read Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 26 and 27 tonight. Jesus speaking here says, but it shall not be so among you, talking to his disciples. He said, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your disciple, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You know, most people are saying, man, I want to do something great for God. All right, be a minister. He said, because if you're going to be great in the sight of God and among one each other, you're going to have to be a minister, an agent of Jesus Christ. Now find your place, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. Paul, writing here to the church at Corinth, says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. He said, quit ye like men, be strong. Now I want you to notice here, he says, let all your things be done with charity. But he's not stopped there, and he looks at verse 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Did you notice he said that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints? Now take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 15. Paul, writing again here, same church, says this, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, or the ministry of calling to, or calling back to. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, I want to use as our text verse back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul told the church at Corinth, remember the house of Stephanas. He says, because they, those people, were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I want to speak to you tonight on ministry addictions. Ministry addictions. Now, Father, would you bless our time? Thank you for the privilege of being able to open the Word of God. And I pray that you'd speak to us. Oh, Holy Spirit, please move in this congregation tonight, I pray. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, for the most part, many of us have crossed paths with someone, whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend, whether it be a next door neighbor, an acquaintance, a co-worker. Many of us have crossed paths with someone who has been caught up in some form of addiction. Whether it be an addiction that has been detrimental to the body, or whether it was an addiction that was destructive to the spirit. You know, when you look up the word addict, you will find the definition there of one who has given himself to something, or someone that has given themselves over habitually and compulsively to something. Literally, it means to give over to. That's what an addict is. And yet, Paul said, the house of Stephanas, they had become given over. They had given themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had literally decided, I'm going to be an agent for Jesus Christ. I'm going to let His hands be my hands. I'm going to let His voice be my voice. And they became addicts, literally addicts, giving themselves over to the ministry, or being an agent, or being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You see, we know that no addict was born an addict, right? Nobody's born an addict. He had to develop to be one. He had to make himself one through his devotion to something. Just like an alcoholic made himself an alcoholic by drinking liquor, right? A drug addict made himself a drug addict by being a compulsive user of drugs. Listen, a fornicator made himself one by his lust after pornography or perversion. They weren't born that way. They made themselves an addict. And may I say that these addicts were not born with these problems. They made themselves addicts by indulging in these vices. That's how they became an addict. Now, that addiction now has a grip on their life. And all of us have had to deal in some shape, form, or fashion with someone that has been addicted to something and it's gripped their life. Now, the reason that it's gripped their life is because they've given control of their life over to it. It now, that addiction now controls their life. They cannot go a single day without a fix of their addiction. Now, can I take tonight, folks, and make the application to the ministry? Paul said, I found somebody that was addicted to serving God, that was addicted to ministering to the multitudes. They didn't look at their skin color. They didn't look at where they were from. They didn't look at their pocketbook. They didn't look at, you know what? They ministered to people because Jesus ministered to people. And He ministered to everyone across the board. Why? He set an example. You see, a minister for Jesus Christ is not born again a minister. He must be made a minister. You see, a believer is no more made a minister at salvation than a newborn baby is made a lawyer at birth. You see, a minister is made, not born. You see, a lawyer is made, and so by or a lawyer is made, and so is a sincere minister of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 3 and verse 7. I want to show you something, a statement that I want to use kind of as a foundation for the message tonight that Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 3. Turn there, if you would, to Ephesians 3 and verse number 7. Ephesians 3 and verse number 7. Listen to what he says. Paul says, wherefore I was made a minister. Did you notice he didn't say, I was born a minister? He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. That's God's power. You see, salvation didn't make me or you a minister. It simply equipped me to be a minister. You see, salvation gave me that start. Hey, by the way, before salvation, I didn't care about anybody but me. I didn't care about souls. I didn't care whether somebody's going through a hard time. Hey, my attitude before salvation is what? Big deal, right? I didn't care. That's the reason it bothers me that some people that say they're Christians don't care. Does it bother you? I'm looking at some right now that don't care. I'm concerned about your salvation. Because if salvation is in you, there ought to be some sign of caring for people. Or at least caring what some other people is going through. Now, I'm just saying to you tonight that, listen, a minister is not born, a minister's made is what a minister is. But it's not made by you. It's not made by someone else. That minister is made by God. That minister is made by God Almighty. You see, if every believer was a born minister, then the world would be evangelized, right? And the church would be exploding with joy and the power of God. You see, that word made there simply means to shape. It means to form. It means to be constructed. Listen, if we're going to serve God and be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that's going to have to do the constructing. He's the one that's going to have to do the forming. That's the reason, folks. That's the reason that God said, told Jeremiah. He told him, He says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. He said, I want you to observe something. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he saw that little piece of clay in the hand of the potter. That little piece of clay was nothing until the hands of the potter touched the clay. And then once he touched the clay, he began to form it. He began to shape it into something that was usable by the potter. You see, most of us, we need to take a little trip down to the potter's place and down to the place where God can get a hold of us. You see, that shaping, that forming, that design, that constructing, this is how addicts come to be. And this is how ministers come to be as well. Hey, ministers are formed by the and shaped by the power of God upon their life. So this then tells us that the minister for Jesus doesn't have to be the smartest. He just has to be submissive. Hey, he doesn't have to be the most charismatic. He just has to be committed. Just committed. You see, we think, well, I can't minister if I don't have some experience. Well, did you know that God, that's how He makes ministers? By putting us through some experiences in life. You say, preacher, how does God make a person a minister? Well, let me ask you this. How's a doctor made? How's a lawyer made? How's a plumber made? How's a soldier made? How's a teacher made? I'll tell you how they're made. These people are made by what they go through or the process that they go through of learning and education. You know what we're going to have to be? If we're going to be church ministers to the multitudes, when we can look beyond somebody's fault and see their need, you're going to have to be educated. And I don't mean educated in higher learning. I'm talking about educated in the things of God. And I'm telling tonight, dear folks, that these people, these ministers are made what they are through a process administrated by God. Hey, by the way, He sets up the curriculum. He teaches the curriculum, and he's the one enrolling all the students into the curriculum. You see, just because a person gets saved doesn't mean they want to be a minister. You see, ministers aren't born, they're made. And if we're going to minister for Christ, we're going to have to be submissive. Hey, by the way, can I say this to you? To get into this program, you don't have to have a diploma. Hey, there's no diploma needed. There's no transcripts of previous records needed. All you have to do is just have a desire to be a minister. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you tonight about the elements of ministry addiction. How does God make a person a minister, like Paul said, that he was made a minister? God formed him. He shaped him. He constructed him. So what's going to make a minister? Take your Bible, if you would, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to look at some scriptures, so you need to get your Bible out. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Okay, 2 Timothy 2. Everybody find your place there. Verse number 15. You'll recognize it once you get there. Paul, preparing Timothy, you know what he's preparing Timothy to be? A minister. And so here's some advice that he gave him. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now stop and let me ask you something. What do you think he was asking him or suggesting that he might just study? Do you think that he's telling Timothy that you might want to study the Word? You might want to study the things of God. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Go to 1 Timothy 4 for a second. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me show you some other advice that Paul gave Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now listen to what he says, tells him to do. He says, till I come, give attendance. What does your Bible say to what? To reading. Wonder what he wants him to read. Think he wants him to read National Geographic? Think he wants him to read Time Magazine? What do you think he's suggesting that he might just want to read? Probably the Word of God. Probably he's suggesting here that you give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Kind of sounds to me like the Word of God is going to have to get in us if we're going to have any chance of being made a minister. Because the Word of God sinks down into the spirit of man, which is what motivates us to minister to people. Take your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. He said, you received it as the Word of God. Listen now, which effectually worketh also, does your Bible say, in you that believe? It kind of sounds like that if we're going to be made a minister by God, He's going to use the Word of God in you to bring you to that place. Now, we've learned in John chapter 6 and verse 63. You don't turn there. But if you'll remember, Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said that He wants the life of Jesus to be made manifest in our flesh. So if God's going to make ministers, if a minister is made and not born, then God's going to use the Word of God to accomplish the purpose. Now folks, listen to me. You say, preach, I'm about tired of listening to all this harping on reading the Bible. You can't be a minister, because it's the Word that's going to make you a minister. Why do you think that I'm challenging you to read the Word of God and read it on a daily basis? Why? There's life in the Word. Hey, folks, we pray, oh Lord God, send revival. God ain't sending no revival until you get in the Word. That's where revival comes from. It comes from the Bible. It comes through the Word of God. And people who will not read the Word of God will not have revival. They will not be a minister. Because it's there in the Word of God that you see the condition of the world. You see, the reason that most people could care less whether somebody dies and goes to hell is because they never read the Bible. You know why? Because they never see the condition of the world. You see, the thing about it is people who do not care one day will need somebody to care about them. But then they will find no one. They'll look to the right hand and they'll look to the left hand and they'll find that no man cared for their soul. Why? Because they didn't care. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the thing about it is people who need ministering to are the people that seem never to minister. Why? They're not in the Word of God. Because it's there that you see the condition of the world. May I say to you, it's also there where you see the hurts of people. Have you noticed in the ministry of Jesus that He ministered to a lot of hurting people? I'm talking about a lot of hurting people. You say, what kind of people are you talking about there, preacher? Well, how about lepers that were given a very short lifespan? How about paupers and people that had nothing? How about publicans? How about people caught in sin? I'm talking about caught in the very act of adultery. And yet here, the Son of God, the Creator of all, had every right to condemn her, had every right to stone her, but He didn't. And He just simply said, guys, oh, by the way, did you notice the people who did want to stone her? It's the people that weren't ministering. It's the people who didn't care about someone who had slipped and fallen. You see, the thing about it, isn't it amazing that those people, the Pharisees, the reason they couldn't minister, because they didn't allow anybody any wiggle room. No room for failure. No room for mistakes. Stone her. Listen, do you realize if God held you to the letter of the law, where you'd be today? And may I say to you tonight, the reason you've got to get in the Word of God, there you find the hurts of people. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus just simply told her, go and sin no more. You see, you'll find in the Scripture the hurts of people. You'll find the condition of the world. But you know what else you'll find there? You'll find the consequences of sin there also. You'll find out where people die and go without Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, dear folks. It's a sad day in America when people in a church could care less about a soul. And listen, let me tell you what they'll do. They'll talk during an invitation. They'll let their stinking cell phone go off in an invitation. And then pick it up and go to the back and talk. What's going on? Tell you what's going on. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Hey, let me tell you something. Nobody cares about the consequences of sin. Nobody cares if they're sitting next to someone that may be dying and going to hell. Where's our concern? Well, you get in the Word of God, you'll look at the consequences of sin. Let me tell you something. You stay in the Word, dear folks. Boy, you'll get out, and as you drive, your tears will begin to roll down your face as you look at the world and see most of these people are without God. Most of these people are going to die without Jesus Christ. People who shed no tears anymore are telling everybody, you ain't in the Word. You're not in the Word. You see, God uses to make ministers. He uses the Word of God. There you see the hurts of people and the condition of the world, the consequences of sin. May I also say to you, you also see the failures of men. The failures of men. That's the reason God says you don't put confidence in men. You put your confidence in who? In the Lord. That's the reason Paul told his followers. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Which he's saying is, the day I stop following Christ, stop following me. That's the reason you don't put confidence in men. But you see the failures of men. You see how the flesh operates. You know what else you see? You see that weakness of the flesh when you read the Word of God. You realize that we're but dust to the ground. But let me tell you something else. You also see when you read the Word of God and you get the Word of God in you, trying to be made a minister, what you'll see there, you'll also see the love of God for people. You'll see the love of God for the world. You'll see His compassion for people regardless of what walk of life they came from or what their problems are, what their hurts are. You'll see the love of God for people. You know what? Jesus had every right to look up in that sycamore tree and see that little old guy, Zacchaeus. He had every right to say, you know what? Fall thou out of thy tree and break thy neck. Yeah. You know why? He's a thief. Hey, he wasn't ministering to people. He was hurting people. But you know what? The amazing thing, Brother Carlos, that isn't what he did. Now, he could have. Hey, folks, can I say something to you? You see what that says? That says ministering to the multitudes, not massacring the multitudes. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight, dear friend, is that ministers are made. They're not born. And they're made through the Word of God. There we see the love of God for people. Listen, I'm telling you, when I read the Scriptures and I read how the Pharisees and what they did to the Lord and how He responded to them, boy, sometimes, you know, you read it and you think, Lord, why didn't you just go, pfft, right? Or why didn't you just think it and they would just go, pfft. But you know what? He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. So He set an example for us to follow. And there we find in the Word of God the love of God for people. But we also find the judgment of God on people, right? We find the judgment on the lost. We also find the judgment of the unfaithful servant. We also find the judgment of the unjust steward. You see, not only do we find there that God loves people, we also find the judgment on people. And by the way, dear folks, just because it's 2011 doesn't mean that God stopped judging sin. Yeah, He's still judging it. And He'll judge it in your life, and He'll judge it in my life. You see, when you read the Word of God, the thing that you'll find there, you'll find the responsibility that we have to the multitudes. You'll find our responsibility. You'll find that the last thing that Jesus told the church and commissioned the church to do before He ascended to the right hand of the Father was to go into all the world. Hey, not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea, but Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I wonder what He wanted them to do. I think He might have wanted them to minister. I think He might have wanted them to be an agent, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God is the greatest tool God uses to make ministers for Him today. Those who are the greatest ministers are those who are greatest in the Word of God. I'm just simply saying, ministers are not born, ministers are made. And folks, that's the reason that I'm trying and to do everything I can to encourage you, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Because listen to me, when you stop reading the Word of God, you stop ministering. When you stop reading the Word of God, you stop caring. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. It's addictive. We want to be addicts in the ministry. Let me give you something else that God uses to make ministers today. Take your Bible, go to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. Okay, James chapter 1. Okay, James 1 and verse 2. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, we don't like this part of the curriculum, but if you're going to be a minister, this is how ministers are made, right here. Not just through the Word of God. God uses His Word, but He uses personal trials in your life to make you a minister. Now, folks, can I say this? I'm not saying that we have to go be corrupt to understand how corrupt people live. That's not what He's saying here. But God will allow personal trials in your life. And those who have not had intense personal trials in their life, I have found in 20-something years of ministry, these people struggling in being a sincere and compassionate minister if they've never faced personal trials. And may I say to you, personal trials, God knows what needs to be done in your life and my life to bring us to that place, to break us where we can be used. You say, oh, but preacher, it hurts so bad. I know it hurts. But may I say to you tonight that that's the reason that, as I mentioned, the Pharisees could not minister to anyone because they could not accept failure in anybody's life. And may I say to you tonight, folks, if you can't accept failure in somebody's life, you're not going to be a minister. You've got to understand people will fail. But just because they fail, it doesn't mean they're a failure. Man, we think somebody messes up. You've met, and listen, how many, you know how many times we've said it, I've said it, and I bite my tongue now and wish I'd have never said it. Tell people, oh, you've messed your life up for good. You know how encouraging those words are to people when you tell them that? You know how ministering it is when you tell somebody, oh, you've messed your life up. Boy, you've really messed it up. It's forever. You've messed it up good now. You know what? Basically, you've given them basically no hope. And it's sad when they hear that come from the people of God. Hey, can I say something to you folks? When it says Trinity Baptist Church out on the sign out there, you realize when people come into this church, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for some hope. They're looking for some help. And listen, if they can't get hope and they can't get help from the church, where are they going to get it from? They came here looking for it. Guess what we need to do? Minister it to them. It's what they're looking for. You say, oh, well, I'm sorry, preacher. I don't know if I can minister to him or not. Well, why not? Because he's got a big tattoo on his head right there. So what does that have to do with anything? He's got a soul, doesn't he? So I don't know, preacher, if I can do that. I know you ought to see him. I saw him smoking out on the street before he came inside. So what does that have to do with anything? You mean just to tell me because somebody's got a vice, you can't help them? I'm telling you, my dear friend, be not deceived. God is not mocked, because in your day that you're going to need ministry, you'll find nobody to minister to you. And then what's happened? You're going to throw your hands up and say, man, where's God? He's going to say, same place I was the day you would minister to this brother and sister in Christ. And everybody in this congregation knows of people that you come across that have failed in areas of life. And a lot of times, we kind of pull the same thing that the priest and the Levite did. We just kind of pass by on the other side. You see, I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that God uses personal trials in life to make us a minister. Hey, these personal trials, you know what you'll find there? This is where you will find personal experience. You will personally experience the grace and mercy of God. And man, I'm telling you, when you've experienced the grace of God, when you've experienced the mercy of God, let me tell you something, it ain't anything for you to start administering grace and mercy to other people. Yeah, hey, when you've experienced and seen God be graceful in your trial, hey, you know what you can do? You can minister that to somebody else. Hey, that's what I'm saying, folks. That's part of ministry. Ministers aren't born, they're made. You say, but preacher, you don't understand my trial that I'm going through tonight and what I'm facing. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't know what you're facing. I know this, though. God may be trying to make you a minister. He may be trying to make you into something. See, you're not born a minister, you're made a minister. And God is trying through personal trials to show you how He gives and extends grace and mercy even to you so that hopefully you'll minister that to somebody else. You'll be able to comfort somebody else in the area that God comforted you in. You see, in personal trials, this is where you'll get to witness the tender love and compassion of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of folks out there that bottomed out and gone shipwreck in their life. And you listen to me, they don't think God loves them anymore. And the sad thing is, there's too many people that claim, and I'm not talking about us, I'm just talking about Christendom in general, there's too many people that would agree with them, that claim they're a born-again believer. And they're looking, well, I don't guess God loves me anymore. You know why they're getting that feeling? Maybe getting that feeling because nobody's ministering to them. Nobody's being an agent for Christ. Nobody's being an ambassador for Jesus Christ and going to them and helping them. Hey, listen, how many young girls are there out there, teenage young girls that have gotten pregnant out of wedlock and nobody's ministering to them? Oh, you've messed your life up now big time. Hey, they know that. They understand that they've messed up. So who's going to go help them now? Who's going to go help them through this? You think a 16-year-old knows how to be a mother? Hey, you know what? I don't know. You're going to help them? Now, here's what we do. We get real spiritual about it because if I help them, then people might think I'm condoning it. Yeah, kind of like they thought Jesus was condoning adultery by helping the adulterous woman. Huh? That's crazy theology, folks. That's not even biblical. Hey, people are going through personal trials. Who's going to help them? Reaching out for help. Reaching out for ministry. You see, this is where you learn. Personal trials, this is where you learn the considering thyself of Galatians 6:1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, stop. Let me insert there and say this. Ye which are ministers, ye which are spiritual, what does it tell you to do? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You've heard me say it many times. From this pulpit to that pew, you and I, one bad decision from a world of hurt. And the only reason that you and I are not where some other people are today is because of a decision they made and a decision you made. You decided not to, they decided to. But you know what? It's amazing how things can come in your life and all of a sudden you'll decide what they decide. You're just one bad decision. One bad decision from being where they are tonight. You see, through personal trials, this is where you learn the considering thyself. Folks, let me tell you something. Next time you drive up to an intersection, you see an old boy holding a sign on a piece of cardboard. Most of us would drive up there and say, that stinking bum. I wonder, if that's the attitude of how many people that drove by the old boy that was standing out in Cleveland with the sign that said he was an ex-radio DJ. And the guy drove up and said, let me hear you say something. And he said something, the guy said, you right, you got a voice. And now he's on everything you can imagine. Reunited with his mother after 20 years. Hey, listen, you say, you don't even know if that guy's a Christian. Hey, at least he helped somebody. The guy was a homeless man. Probably ain't homeless no more after these contracts he signed. Hey, folks, they don't have to be Baptists to help them. You know, your next door neighbors may need some help. And they're sitting, some of them may be sitting home tonight and say, boy, I wish those Christian people next door would come over and help us do something. They're too embarrassed to come ask you for anything. You ought to go find out. You see, in personal trials, this is where you learn the deep hurts of life. But there you find the gentle hand of God. In personal trials. Folks, in the Christian life, if you're going to try to serve God, you will experience deep hurts. And when you decide you're going to step out and even do something greater for God, you will find you will experience greater hurts. Because you're not going to go and serve God, and the devil's not going to just pay attention to you. He's not going to give you any attention. He will give you attention. But you know, sometimes God will use what other people think is bad. God will turn around and use it for your good. Why? Because He's making ministers. He'll turn what Satan meant for your devastation and bad and destruction, He'll turn and use it. Why? He'll use it to make a minister out of you. You see, this is where you learn the deep hurts of life. Find the gentle hand of God. But you know, in these personal trials, this is where your true Christian character is put to the greatest test. Your true Christian character is put to the greatest test during personal trials. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for ministers, but He's looking for people He can trust. He's looking for people that, you know what? When something comes up in somebody's life, they'll go, oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that. That's not people He's looking for. He's looking for people that'll say, you know what? Brother, can I pray with you? I know, boy, it must be tearing you up on the inside. Let me pray with you. Let me help you. Wonder how many of our teenagers here even care about some of their own teenagers. Maybe some in the youth department. Maybe some out of the youth department. Maybe that have gone astray. How many of you have called somebody? How many of you have written them a note? Now, boy, I tell you one thing. We'll go on our little Facebook page. We'll talk about them, though, won't we? Amen, Brother Todd. It's good. Hey, that ain't ministry. That's destruction. You know what? Go home. Change minister multitudes. Put it in your Facebook. Massacre the multitudes. That's what you're doing. It's not just teenagers either. Now let's just massacre the multitudes. Okay, we're going to find out what Jesus thinks about that one day. He's not talking about massacring. He's talking about ministry. But you know what? You're going to have to be made a minister. Made a minister. Let me give you one last thing. Turn to Acts 18, if you would, please. Acts chapter 18. Let me show you one other thing. If we're going to be made ministers, we're not born ministers. Ministers are made. They're made by getting in the Word of God. They're made by God using personal trials in life. And boy, is it a test of your Christian character. But I want you to look at something here, if you would. Let me give you one last thing. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now I want you to notice verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You say, what does this have anything to do with ministry? Not only does God use the Word of God to make ministers, not only does God use personal trials to make ministers, listen to me, He uses people to make ministers. Hey, here's an old boy and his wife and saved people. Guy gets up, preaches. They said, man, that's pretty good. Step over here with us just a minute. I'll talk to you just a second. They probably pulled him over in the corner and said, listen, when you get up here and you start preaching stuff, you need to have a little more compassion when you preach. Hey, man, I don't know what they talked to him about, but I'm telling you, Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos aside and they instructed him. And they helped him. And may I say to you that what God uses to make ministers, He uses other people. He uses other people to make ministers. You see, this is where you witness a minister in action. Well, I'm telling you, my mind goes back 20-some-odd years. Right after I got saved and joined this church in 1984, there was a couple in this church, and I don't know why. My daughter at that time was just a little bitty thing. I think she was 5. She's 31 now. And I don't know why they took interest in us other than they were trying to get addicted to the ministry. Somehow, somewhere along the way, they got in the Word of God. They've been through personal trials, and they were trying to be an example. They were presenting to us ministry in action. And this family took an interest in us. And they took us out to eat several times, invited us over to the house, and came over, and just all kinds of things. And I thought, boy, you know what? These people, they must be Christians. Because they're doing some things that probably Jesus would do. I wonder how many of us, and some of the dear folks that just recently joined our church, I wonder how many of us have extended any type of right hand of fellowship to them to invite them over and minister to them. I wonder how many of us have gone to them or written them a card or sent them a letter through the mail and says, you know what, I'm excited that you've come to be a part of Trinity Baptist Church. If anything I can do to help you, please let me know. Oh, by the way, look at a date where my wife and I can take you out, you and your wife out for supper sometime, or invite you over for supper sometime. Say, man, if I did that, preach, that's going to cost money. We've lost it. If money is more important than a person's soul. Hey, I'm just telling you that God uses people. He used Aquila and Priscilla to help a young man by the name of Apollos. Hey, this is where you see ministers in action. Hey, when God uses people, this is where you perfect your gifts among brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, this is where you can extend your gifts to minister to people, and you'll have a brother and sister in Christ that loves you and will help you with those and point some things out that will help you. Hey, folks, listen, we ought not get bent out of shape when someone points out something in our life and says, hey, brother, you might want to think about this, consider about this. I think it could be better used in a way like this. Most of them, tell me. Folks, what have we got to? We don't want anybody telling us anything anymore. Not even God. Why do you think that the Church of the Living God worldwide is in the shape that it's in? Why? Not many ministers. Because nobody wants anybody telling them what to do. God says, you're not born a minister, you made a minister. And he said, I'm going to have to make you through the Word of God, through personal trials, and I'm going to use other people. Hey, this is where you find encouragement. This is where you build friendship. This is where you can experience forgiveness and restoration in the love of Christ. Now, I'm going to throw something out there and finish up and say this. Remember I told you a while ago that all of us in here, one bad decision from a wrecked life. One bad decision. Now, let me stop and say this. I don't care who we are. I wonder if tomorrow you got news that somebody in this congregation slipped and fell tonight that hindered their testimony or hurt their life and you found out about it. I wonder how many of you would go personally to that person and try to minister to them. Now, I know there'd be a lot that would probably say, I knew it was just a matter of time. Yeah, I could see it. Just a matter of time. Yeah, you know what can I say to you? It's just a matter of time for you as well. Just a matter of time. All you are is one bad decision, one wrong relationship. May I say to you, when you go to work tomorrow, you may be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Who's going to minister to these people? I don't know what 2011 holds, but in a congregation our size, there are probably going to be some people slip and fall. Listen, whether anybody else in this church goes to them, I want you to hear, you're looking at somebody, I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to go to them. You say, well, what if they're sitting in a jail cell over in Tarrant County? I said I'm going to go to them and try to minister to them and help them. You say, well, what if they're in a drug rehab? I said I'm going to go to them and minister to them and help them and let them know, you know what, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, you know what? You're doing the right thing to try to get some help. And I want you to know I'm behind you 100%. And when you get out, I want to talk with you, pray with you. I want to do everything I can to help restore you to where you are and where you want to be. You see, ministers aren't born. They're made. God makes them through the Word of God. God makes them through personal trials. And then may I say, God uses good people to help make them the ministers that they ought to be. And tonight, I hope that we have a church with people with a heart, not only of being a minister, but being used of God to help someone else be made a minister. The house of Stephanas was addicted. Well, we're addicted to the ministry. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many can say tonight, preacher, I'm saved, no question about it. I know I'm going to heaven. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I know it, no question. I know question about it.